Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is America Health Crisis. This is Paulette Young on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host tonight. We have another hot topic, and we're going to be joined by our guest, Selena Lindsay, also. We're going to talk about increased singles and children. Is that happening to us now? Is there an increase in shingles from receiving the chickenpox vaccine? Is there an increase in shingles at an early age because of the chickenpox vaccine? So those are some of the things that is a public concern, especially with the pediatricians and some of the physicians out there. They're talking about it, but what are we doing about it? Okay, you may not be aware that that it was in 1995 that the chickenpox vaccine was introduced to the public. Children used to get chickenpox naturally. You know, one child come to the kindergarten or the preschool, and then they all get it. But they didn't get shingles, so at an early age. They've had reports of as young as 2 years old. But at that time, you didn't see shingles in young children or young adults. What's happened is the chickenpox rates have declined, but the rate of shingles have increased since the invention of the chickenpox vaccine. The drug companies are benefiting, since these vaccines are mandatory in your schools. In the old days, prior to 1995, maybe you had 99.9% of the children recover safely after getting chickenpox. And there was no vaccine. It was considered a mild disease without many complications. By creating a vaccine for chickenpox, we've created a new epidemic for shingles, unfortunately. But we do know that the chickenpox part has gone down. Doesn't guarantee anything because they have had one daycare center where 75% of the kids had the vaccine. The kids there had the vaccine, 75% of them still came down with chickenpox. But the problem right now that's of not just concern here in the United States, but in other countries around the world is why the shingles increase. There's many theories on that. They feel like if you naturally got chickenpox, the likelihood of that shingles being there is just not especially at an early age, it's not there because we didn't see it before. Yet now we do see it. So now they've come up with a shingles vaccine. And the shingle vaccine, the going price for that thing is, just only $200. Or your insurance cover it, but someone's making money off of it. Is it necessary? I know a few friends that got that vaccine and they got sick. So for me, no, I'll take my chances. Is it necessary? You're on American Health Crisis right now, and the call-in number is 858-769-4936, and press 1, and you'll be on the air. If you want to speak, if you don't, you can just listen. Hi, Selena. Hello. Wait, I think I'm having a technical difficulty. Let me see where the problem is. Not quite sure. No. Okay, just a moment. just having a little technical difficulty with the Blog Talk Radio board. Give me 1 minute. Hello, Selena?
Yes, how
can
are
you hear
you?
Me? Oh, could you
yes,
hear
I
me
can.
Before? Oh, okay, because
yes.
I didn't hear anything. So I wasn't sure if the what I'm seeing in front of me was where you can hear or not. Okay, this is Selena Lindsay on the line. She's joining us in for tonight's hot topic, the increased shingles in children and why. Selena, why don't you go ahead and tell them a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get right into the program.
Okay, well, basically, I'm a retired CPA. I run several different businesses, primarily in transportation, and probably 5 or 6 different types of nonprofits, and I sit on the board of about 20 of them. Every radio show, I try to tell you a little bit about some of these nonprofits and what they're doing in the community and how it may benefit some of you if you need to call their numbers and see what it is that they can do for you if it fits something that's going on in your life.
Okay. So far, just kind of introduce them to the topic on shingles, that there is an increase, and they some of the physicians believing it's from the chickenpox vaccine, because what they've found is was introduced in 1995, the chickenpox vaccine. Chickenpox did decline, and shingles went up. And they're getting it at an early age. Why? And then some of the physicians are hollering that there was only 99.9% of the children that did recover safely after getting the chickenpox, that they were thinking, what's the necessity of having a vaccine? And they're believing it's the drug companies because they make money off those vaccines.
Well,
I don't know what the chickenpox vaccine costs, but I know the shingles is like $200 a vaccine.
Well, actually, one of the drugs that they use as a vaccine, which is Zorafax, some of the things that they themselves list and also CDC, basically what they like to call the chickenpox virus, or another word for it would be called herpes zoster. And it primarily acts, what happens is because in an early age when you get the chickenpox vaccine, what it seems to do is it in most adults over 50 years old, then the zoster virus, it starts out as chickenpox, and then it redevelops into shingles. It is very contagious, and people that have an autoimmune disease or cancer, they really need to watch out. Also, what you need to know is this virus can be dormant for years, meaning that you don't have any symptoms, nothing happens. And then as you age, and primarily in some of what I believe Paula Young is talking about, is why is it that we're seeing it now? Well, technically, in the United States, we're dealing with the oldest, largest group of old people. And when you have a group that's large, then you're going to see higher numbers in terms of some of the older people, but also to some of the younger ones, because primarily, what has virtually happened is they develop one vaccine and then they create another one to deal with what I want to call a mutation. And this mutation, stays dormant for years, and then it comes to the forefront. And some of the things that I think that people need to know more so is this awareness, but also especially with women. Women should know some of the signs of the possibility that maybe you don't have just a little red rash, and that if you have pain, burning, numbness, or you feel like you have flu-like symptoms, or you have, you know, little red bumps around your breath or your lower quadrant of your body, you're having chills and upset stomach, well, that's a good indication that you need to go and see a physician. Because, and also, too, if you took the chickenpox vaccine as a child and you're within that age group, I would seriously go and see a physician. And as far as it goes for taking the shot to not get this particular virus, it supposedly has what they call mild syndrome. I don't call these types of side effects very mild, such as hives, trouble breathing, swelling of your face, your lips, your tongue, your throat, having a fever, swollen gland, pain in your joints, and muscle pain. Those are what they consider to be mild things that can happen to you from taking the
Yeah, because it's attacking the nerves. If it gets in the nerves, that is horrible. That can last months. Some of the physicians are saying if we would have allowed the kids to get it the natural way, we would not see this increase in shingles. They believe because they're giving them the virus the way they are, that it's called, you decline in one area and increase in another. The big alarm is you have 2-year-olds up to 20-something-year-olds coming down with shingles. We didn't see that before. That was like, that would have been rare. That's when they got it naturally. Now that they have the vaccine, which isn't the natural way to get it, that they're having this other problem. That's why there are some countries that won't touch the vaccine. They're watching what happens here in the United States and the other countries that are vaccinating their children and young adults. And now you got the shingo vaccine. You can't get me to touch that stuff. I don't know about you. You can't get me to touch it. I already seen two people in their 70s get that thing, and boy, did they come down with shingles. They were sick. That was after the vaccine. Then there are those that, I don't know who they are, but my assumption is it must be those that benefit from it. It's just the ones I've been in contact with. I didn't see much benefit. That's why they can't get me to touch it. They say worse. I'll take my chances.
Well,
see,
I
never had a vaccine. I did have chicken pox the natural way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I did too. And of course, all of the scratching and stuff. So I still have some scars, you know, because those things, they, you know, they like little watery warts and you pop them open, you know. you soon learn why they call it chicken pox.
So they call it chicken spots. No.
Yeah, right.
It's grass.
I think it's not to be taken lightly, and that people really needed to, make decisions for themselves and consider more so. Also, too, there is. There are some studies being done to show that does it really work?
Mm-hmm.
Because as usual, when they manufacture these vaccines, it has in it a small factor of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So their way of curing you is to give you a little bit of it so that your body builds up antibodies against it. And in some cases, some severe things are rated as very, very low. But at the same time, I'm kind of with Paulette Young. It's a little difficult to say that until I get it, I'll just take my chances.
Yeah, because the devastating effect of that, you know, you're giving me something that my body may just totally reject in a not-so-healthy way. When they had the statistics before 1995, with 99.9% of healthy children coming down with 99% of them, it was a mild disease without complications. And then, but you found that you act like it was an epidemic with complications, yet it was not. And yet they did pass it. No, I'm not in favor of this mandatory thing. I think it should be a choice. The parents should be able to choose. Because there was something like, I think it was 3.7 million cases annually. And then from that, I think something like 50 children and 50 adults. But they were the ones with what you call immunocompromised, meaning their immune system wasn't strong. And, yeah, they did have problems. But that was a small number. That's not a huge number for you to say vaccinate everybody, to mandatory vaccination of everybody, and not to admit kids to school and stuff and, you know, things like that. Then my question is, what about the kids that already have a compromised immune system, meaning their immune system is not strong at all? Should they even be subject to a chickenpox vaccine?
Well, one of the contraindications is, again, those that do have, just kind of mentioned that, those that do have an autoimmune system disease or something that is wrong with the autoimmune system, they should not take it, and it's not recommended.
And they should be allowed to go to school, just like anybody else, and not be mandated to have that, you know, vaccine in their system. And then what if you have a child that, you know, they haven't even been to the classrooms or around a lot of people, so nothing shows up that they even have a weakened immune system until they do begin school, but they can't begin school until they get that vaccine. I just think that this should not be mandatory. That should be a choice. If I was raising children today, I'd rather them get it the traditional way versus being poked with a needle. Now, there are other vaccines I am in favor of. This one only because of knowing a few cases of the small children coming down with shingles. For me, it's quite disturbing.
Well, I think there should be some pro-choice, but, of course, you always have the other side of the argument because anytime, of course, Big Pharma says, you know, oh, it's a great possibility that they do get it and then they'll infect the rest of the children. The other side of the coin is what they don't want to tell you about is how many people actually take the vaccine and still get it.
They did. They have several documented cases on that. I don't remember the state, but at a daycare where the kids were all had those chickenpox vaccines, 75% came down with chickenpox. That's high.
Exactly.
That's not even low. And the purpose of the vaccine was for you not to get chickenpox. And there's case after case where they still get it.
What good is it anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. What good is it anyway?
Yeah, well,
financially it's good.
If I'm lying, if I was lying in my pocketbook, I think that's a good thing. Unfortunately, it's not good for, we're talking about children. What about pregnant moms, you know,
well,
giving it to their unborn baby? There's just so
much. Well, they're
not
the ones to be vaccinated at all. They are the ones to, if it's even in the air, they need to be gone someplace else. They're not amongst the ones that vaccine is recommended for. But all of the rest, it's just a wide open field. And again, some of the contraindications or vice versa, some of the things that happen to you if you do take it, and you're going to have, you know, shortness of breath and your tongue all swollen up, you almost think you'd be better off with shingles and scratch a little.
Mhm.
Yeah, then to
there should be a public outcry when things are affecting the kids. There just should be a public outcry and questions made and make them show documentations of what's happening with
well,
the ones
I feel
that
we're being told, as usual, that,
mm-hmm.
like you said, Big Pharma has a way to get that dollar bill. Once they inform the public or, you know, they put pictures out there and say, well, do you want your child to get this? Then certain parents, I would say the whole conversation is called, you need to be informed and then make
right.
your decision as to whether or not you want to do this even to yourself or have it done to your child.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious even if you get a smallpox vaccination that your child is looking at in the next 20 to 30 years or somewhere along there, they're going to have shingles.
Yeah, or less than that, because the youngest I've seen is 2 years of age. The child was screaming, the mother said, and she didn't know what was wrong with her child. Took her to the doctor, she had shingles. I asked her one question, I said, did your child have that chickenpox vaccine? She said, yes. And the shingles, it went straight to the nerves. That's why the small child would be in pain. And the doctor told her anytime that, you're talking about a two-year-old, so anytime that child's going to be under stress, they're going to end up with pain. I said, how sad. How can a two-year-old never be under stress? Not possible. And then the other thing is a person with shingles can infect someone who hasn't had chickenpox. There are people that have shingles, and they go everywhere. Some physician told them that, oh, no, it's safe. No, you're not. Because if I never had chickenpox and say I'm pregnant, that can be deadly to that unborn baby. I don't know why any physician would say that it's okay for the person with the chickenpox, I mean, with shingles, to continue on in their, you know, activity. That's crazy. Shingles can infect a person who hasn't had chickenpox. And
yes, they have their shingles switched up. You know, they have green light when they should have stopped, and they have stopped when
mm-hmm.
we should go.
Again, you're on American Health Crisis. You've been speaking with Paulette Young and Selena Lindsay, and we've been talking about chickenpox vaccine, the controversy on has the shingles gone up when there's a decline in chickenpox. Looks like you saw one problem and created another. So keep watch on that. You can always go on the Center of Disease Control website and see what's going on and check some of the other health websites so that you'll stay informed for your child and make a healthy choice for your kids and for your teenagers and for yourself, should you even venture off and take a shingles vaccine and think that this is okay. Maybe, maybe not. If you've already got Selena Lindsay had stated, if your immune system itself is already in a weakened state and then you put something else in there, you may not, it may not be a good thing for that person. Again, if you want to come on the air, it's 858-769-4936, press 1, and you'll be on the air. We're on every Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific time, and that's our regular call-in number. We have a few minutes left, and Selena Lindsay has a vast amount of organizations that she participates in or she heads them up, and I'd like for her to share a few of that while we still have some time left. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, talk about Sowing Seeds for Life, and Sowing Seeds for Life, all one word, .org. You can find it on your internet. Primarily what it is the second largest food bank in Southern California. If you should live in the Los Angeles County area, primarily, Covina, Laverne, Pomona, around in that particular area, that circumference, then you might like to call area code 909-293-7735, extension 232. And also, they're open to donations because at this time they're feeding approximately 20,000 people a month, and it takes money, folks. In addition to that, we have.
That number, does Sowing Seeds have any other locations here in Southern California?
Sowing Seeds for Life has a number of different, what we like to call mobile sites. They are currently in San Bernardino on Vernon. They also head up a couple of sites at Senior Citizens Facility. There are a number of different places that food is distributed and to the public. And under that number, some of the people in a lot of churches, they come and they pick up food, and then it's distributed through their church. What we do primarily is they do it under our authorization, and we teach and train them how to do it in a mannerism which gives people dignity. In addition to that, we have the 777 Warehouse, which is headed by Mr. Willie Walker. They also distribute food. They do a breakfast on Sunday. They work with the homeless. They work with teenagers, job training, computer training. Then you can reach him at area code 909-567-5824. Next on the list, we have Fresh Starts Ministries, which is headed by Mr. Richard Hernandez. It's primarily located in Ontario. They work with various after-school programs, the police department, First Five, many, many different programs in with the Drug and Gang Task Force, working with kids that are having problems in school, many, many programs that are beneficial to the community. Please call area code 909-630-2662. And again, all donations are welcome to help them facilitate these programs. The next and last program would be Coley Outreach, which is located in Highland. Primarily, Mr. Keith Coley heads up that organization, and they work with young men that have been displaced or homeless or on parole, and offer them counseling and direction for a place to live. You can reach Mr. Keith Coley at area code 909-358-7391. In addition, there's a statement that I always make.
Say that number because I know that other sound came in, 909-358-7391. Okay, because another sound came through, and I don't know if they would have heard it. Go ahead.
Okay, and in closing, I always make this statement. We are pro-poor, interacting with the poor in a way that provides choice and dignity. We believe in fishing rods rather than fish and implementing sustainable environmental practices. We believe that we are changing behaviors that contribute to poverty, and you can help too. Any one of these organizations, please feel free to give them a call. Or if you'd like to volunteer, please go out there and assist them in their endeavors. Selena Lindsay, good night.
Thank you, Selena. And this is America Health Crisis. Paulette Young, your host, speaking, and we'll be on the air next Monday, same time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. And the number, the dial-in number is 858-769-4936. And if you want to speak, just press 1 and you'll be on the air. So you can call the number to listen or if you have a question or you want to add to the conversation, that's the number you'll call. So we'll see you again when we'll have another hot topic. Thank you.
Good night.
All right, good night.